Okay, hi. I'd just like to say hello to my new extended research family. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm going to make sure that I spend 8 minutes telling you about our project, so that if you are 77 years old and a Francophone, or 79 years old and an Anglophone, I'm not taking up too much of your valuable time. Okay. Our project is obviously in its very, very early stages, but I would like to give you a flavour of where we're going, and I'd be very, very happy to talk to people afterwards about where the project should go and some thoughts and reflections about what I'm about to tell you. The project focuses on pre-literacy. We know from an awful lot of very formalised research that the foundations laid in the early years are absolutely crucial to later literacy development. We know that, I know from my own research, for example, that the reading abilities or the pre-reading abilities that children show at school entry predict their attainment very, very well indeed at the end of elementary school and in other research even beyond that. So a focus on pre-literacy is absolutely crucial, I feel. My ultimate goal in this is to try and, I guess, interrupt cycles of deprivation and cycles of inequality through targeting early literacy. So that's the grand purpose. And I see this, I guess, as an opportunity to develop some detailed work prior to much larger scale and formal research into the future, linking up health and education. So what we'd like to do, I guess, here is to establish what's going on, I guess, what's happening out there, and how can we best support the connectivity between health providers who are responsible for children in the early years and education providers who are responsible for children well by the time they hit school. Those are two silos, both in terms of funding and in terms of professional skills. And I think part of the work will be to try and break down that silo wherever possible. Okay, so what are we going to try and do? I think any serious attempt to improve literacy at scale in Canada, I think, needs to acknowledge certain things. First of all, and as was noted in the previous presentation, a very large number of people don't live in cities. They live in small communities. Canada's a very big country. And so we need to have an approach that understands urban and rural and remote needs if we're going to move things forward. As I've already mentioned, literacy is built upon foundational preschool language skills. So we really need to support rich language development, both in the home and in daycare and other preschool environments. We know also that the seeds of inequality and the seeds of inequity are sown in the early years before school. Children arrive at school with significant differences in basic and early literacy skills, letter knowledge, ability to write their own name, ability to tell you the front and the back of a book, ability to articulate a sentence clearly. These things vary dramatically and are related to the social economic status of the families from which the children come. That's pretty clear. There's also a complex interaction whereby the quality of the daycares in those communities where you want them to be as good as possible, i.e. where children might be considered to be at risk, are often of the lowest quality, and the qualifications of people running the daycares and support and teaching in the daycares is often rated in many, many research studies to be low. So you can see how inequities never get interrupted in that way. We also know that low literacy has cascading impacts both on educational and health outcomes. I think the fairly recent, but I think already quite burgeoning research on health literacy is showing us that low literacy has all sorts of dramatic impacts across the lifespan. People with low literacy live less long. How that interacts with language, I don't think has yet been explored. But they live less long, they're less likely to undertake basic screening and health checks, they're less likely to read health information accurately and act upon it. And there's a whole cascading series of impacts that are not just in terms of education, but are direct health outcomes. So what are we going to do? I had to relax in this project somewhat. My typical territory is to run very well tightly designed randomised control trials to evaluate research questions. And this is a very different beast here, I think. I wanted to come to this without too many assumptions and listen to the professionals in the field and guide them and support them and then see what we can develop in terms of a prototype of a model. So we're working in two locations in a detailed way, I think ultimately probably a qualitative way, looking at questions. One of the sites is in the Salford Laurier School Board, which is essentially it starts in Laval and then works its way up in a diamond towards the Laurentians. That's its circumscription, and They are a very successful school board, I should say. I've got underperforming minority. They're actually a very successful school board, but like most school boards, they're underperforming. They have some underperforming children in them, and they're concerned about them. Perhaps it's up to about 20%. That would be nationally quite representative, by the way. Their particular issues, I think, are that they have no hospital in Laval. Anybody coming for medical services comes onto the island, generally speaking. And limited access to health services in English, despite a growing English, one of the few areas with a growing English community, I understand. Certainly a growing number of children in the English school system, let's put it that way. The other community, very different, is the Lower North Shore. And here, if people know this domain, I'll apologise straight away. I've never been to the Lower North Shore. But having spoken to people there and intending to go there, this is what I understand the issues are locally currently. An isolated English-speaking community, difficulties for many at-risk children to find appropriate services. Because of the nature of life there, seasonal migration of parents, with grandparents looking after young children and supporting health and education, and a lack of tools to support English literacy. At the most basic level, there aren't many books, and the books are not new. They've already attempted to run parental workshops to support early literacy. They've had some success there through funded research, but they're looking to work with me, I think, to develop on that experience and go further. So as you can see, different locations, potentially already different kinds of issues that are going to come up. So we're going to go there, I guess, with a relatively open mind, but also with a knowledge of the research literature. So I think it's that combination that we're going to bring to this project, and with a grand goal in mind. Okay, so what are we going to do in the Salford Laurier School Board? Their things are a plan is already afoot. We're going to work with the community group to pilot preschool literacy, and our focus here, what we're doing, I think, is we've already identified a teacher in an elementary school who is considered to be an outstanding practitioner and who is also interested in doing outreach. Schools are highly motivated, of course, to have children arriving at school knowing something about literacy. It makes their life a lot easier. So our idea here is to buy out that teacher's time and bring them into a daycare setting, into the feeder daycares, to work with the staff there, alongside Victoria and I, to coordinate the best possible ways to support children in daycares. And then from there, to build a connection of people that will include the local health professionals, speech and language pathologists, other community groups, and really, I think, to run some focus groups and some mini projects to see how best to proceed. Here, I think success would be measured in terms of some shared thinking, and in terms of some improvements in the quality of the experiences for children in the feeder daycares, which hopefully we'll see showing up in terms of the pre-literacy skills as children arrive at school. So I think that's likely to be quite important, and I think it will give lots and lots of insights for the further development of more formalised research approaches. In the Lower North Shore, we're still developing our plan, I think, at the moment. I intend to go there, and I'm going to steam up the St. Lawrence with a suitcase full of books. So that's going to be the first contribution from the project. So I arrive showing that I'm in business, and hopefully everybody will want to sit down and discuss further exactly what we can do there. So I'm going to hold fire on saying exactly what's going to happen there. It's extremely open territory there. I guess it's a form of action research where we will take a facilitating role to make things happen and attempt to evaluate them. So that's really where we've got to so far. And I guess just a word on our methods. We're going to do observations. There are a range of quite good psychometric observation tools now that you can use to evaluate what's going on in daycares. They all have their strengths, they all have their weaknesses, but there are materials that can be used, and daycares are now routinely using those to make sense of their own practice. We're going to do detailed interviews connected up to practice with all of the actors in this process, and we're also going to make sure that we can coordinate a focus group, bringing out the professionals out of those silos into discussion together so that we can try and work on a plan. And that plan, I'm pretty sure, is going to involve, I think, the clever ways to share expertise between schools, daycares, and also, I think, the CLSCs and other providers of health in the early years who are extremely willing but don't necessarily know literacy issues inside out. So I think that essentially wraps up my description of the project. There we are. Those are the benefits to the community. And hopefully we'll come back and be able to tell you a little bit more in detail about some of that into the future. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Rob. These last two presentations, I think these last two projects really go to what I would describe as community health outcomes and more prevention-oriented approaches. Which are very important, I think, if we're going to address some of the very serious issues that we've heard about from everybody all day today. We do have a few minutes now. If people have questions about toutes les présentations après le lunch, je crois, parce qu'on n'a pas eu de période de questions pour les présentations qui étaient dans la première session de l'après-midi. But we do have a few minutes now, and so if there are questions, please make sure you tell us who you're directing it to, and or comments. Do we have any? Norman, yes?
I have a question for Rob.
Okay, he has a question for Rob. I have to repeat for the benefit of the audience on the webcast. And Rob, perhaps you can come up to the microphone to answer that. So the question is, do you see this as a question of basic literacy or
health,
or specifically health literacy? So what is the relationship between health literacy and specific literacy, I guess?
Yeah, thanks, Ron. That's a good question. I think in the early years, it's a focus on basic literacy because those kinds of the skills which we're hoping to develop, letter knowledge, phonological skills, the ability to manipulate phonemes, the ability to understand a text, the generic, I think, in the early years. So I think we would focus on those. However, I think the vehicle for engaging all professionals and connecting them up, if that's really needed, but I think the vehicle for connecting people up and showing the impact of this is through the dramatic impacts of health literacy. The ongoing impacts on health literacy, something that I think that certainly in the Lower North Shore they're acutely aware of, the connectivity between literacy and well-being. So I think it's building the foundations there, but also having an eye on the health impacts. As children grow older, I think you can actually work with young people to help kind of take control of their lives by using health literacy materials as an engaging approach to think about issues in literacy. And understanding information carefully, being able to draw out the inferences from this, being able to evaluate the claims around medication and around health practices, I think is really an important part of being a citizen. So I think that can come in more fully later on, and it's certainly something parents will be interested in. But for the moment, it's a focus on the building blocks of early literacy.
Thanks. Any other? Yes, at the back there from Bishops. Okay, another question for Rob. So, Rob, you're right back here.
I noticed that the whole project seems to be very much focused on daycares, school boards. I wonder what role could be included in that with respect
So the role of parents versus institutions like daycares in your project.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think our way into that, I think, is through the health professionals who are most closely involved in families in the 0 to 5 age range. It's very often general practitioners or social workers, sometimes speech and language professionals, who are asked the questions around literacy by parents and who are interested in supporting literacy. So community paediatricians have early literacy very, very high up their agenda, actually. But they don't necessarily know an awful lot about it and don't necessarily have the best advice to give to parents to help support young children. So I think there's a link, and I could see a role. This is why at the moment I'm seeing a role for a teacher who, by definition, understands, an early years teacher who really understands literacy processes very well, at least the end product, where we want to get to, and ourselves, working with health professionals and sitting around the table to say, okay, these are resources, these are materials, these are things that we can do, and these are the sorts of things that can be maximally effective, so that when a family does engage with the state, it's going to be through health, and that we're the best place there to really provide strong supports for families. And then, you know, beyond that, what else can we do is going to be a question. How can we get the message out in other ways to families is then something that we can then sort of put on as an agenda item on the table. You know, I think a big part of that is the support for language per se. You know, a lot of people think that early literacy support means, you know, playing with letters or something, but it doesn't. If you're two or three, it means a rich experience around language, around vocabulary, around experience with nursery rhymes, about messing around with language and having fun with it, being read to, etc., etc., etc. These are really important things. So it's really a language issue, I think, early on in children's experience, and making sure that our health professionals really understand what can be best done at different ages is going to be an important part of that.
Yeah, okay, it'll be for Rob again. But if I can use my prerogative for a minute of controlling the pulpit, so to speak, I do think that a lot of what we're discussing here, not just with Rob's project, which seems to be very popular, but all these projects, what we're learning over the past few years in this project is applicable to, you know, any community, a wide range of community. And I think we're getting to these problems because they're acute in some communities, and they have to do. We encounter them because they're made more serious by language barriers. But the solutions that we're coming up with in these more difficult circumstances, that experience can then be applied to any community. And I think your project is a good example of that. So, what is the question? Yeah. Yes, so the director of our School of Nursing at McGill University there is noting that the Montreal Children's Hospital actually provides books, and that it's, as you said, pediatricians. It's one of their issues that they're concerned with is child literacy. Maybe you want to comment on that comment.
Yeah, I've had some connection with the folk at the McGill Hospital, and I have this lovely image that that parents leave the hospital with a baby wrapped in swaddling and a book in the other hand, that it's something like that. I think it's a super idea, and I think the more that can be done, the better. I think some communities in Montreal are well served with that, and I think what we'd like to do is maybe I should be discussing exactly the best practices that they've seen working there, and whether any of those are relevant and transferable elsewhere, perhaps. So, yeah, thank you for reminding me about that.